Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms and Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Michael, let's begin with you. The governor will be taking the wraps off soon, his budget address for 2020. Where do you think the battle lines will be drawn in Harrisburg this year? And given that it is an election year, do you anticipate that he might pivot more to the mushy middle? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the budget address takes place in early February, and because, as you just mentioned, it is an election year, the likelihood is that this is going to be sort of a calm legislative session, both from the governor's perspective as well as the legislator's perspective. They're all looking towards November, holding on to their seats, and don't want to sort of rock the boat. So it's going to be relatively calm. What the governor has consistently pushed for, though, in his tenure here is a tax on fracking, you know, an additional tax. Tax on the extraction of natural gas out of Pennsylvania's ground, and we think he's going to be pushing for that again. That's something the Republican legislature has resisted, and so that may be sort of a big battleground that we see going forward in this coming budget session.
All right, Jason, the big story this week seemed to be the bail reform backlash. It was a huge protest earlier. So many people are just frustrated by this. I think of the guy that hit and killed this student at Buff State, a man with a history of drunk driving convictions. That wasn't even allowed to be put an electronic monitoring bracelet on this guy, just walks out of jail free. There are stories like this all over the Empire State. What's being done to stop this?
Well, honestly, very little is being done in Albany. There are Democrats that are now standing up and saying changes need to be made. But ultimately, Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie has said he's drawing a line in the sand and they just want to give it time. They don't see any changes coming anytime soon. In the meantime, that's providing opportunities for Republicans to get back on their tough-on-crime talking points in an election year. So I expect at some point there will be some changes made, but they're probably going to be around the edges and not substantive.
Well, we're talking crime and punishment, Michael. A number of Pennsylvania communities have wanted to declare themselves sort of these Second Amendment sanctuaries. Why do you feel this action is necessary? Why do they feel this action is necessary?
Well, I think they're looking just down the road a little bit to our south in the Commonwealth of Virginia and seeing when the left, the Democrats, have taken control of the legislature there in Virginia and own the governor's seat as well, that restrictions seem to rapidly come on Second Amendment rights, on gun ownership, on concealed carry, and on things like, even in Virginia, what they're proposing is a ban on indoor gun ranges, which allow legitimate gun owners to actually practice target shooting and to make themselves safer when they want to protect themselves from attack. So they're seeing what's happening in Virginia and know that there are legislators in Pennsylvania who would want to do the same thing here as well. And so they're trying to be preemptive ahead of what they think might be coming.
If you're just joining us, this is Capital Connection. Every Friday during the Noon Report, we spotlight the weighty issues in the news emanating from the state capitals with Michael Geer at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, call this another consequence of the green light law. DMV workers and police even not allowed to cooperate with ICE. Critics say this could lead to an increase in sex trafficking and prostitution. Are they right?
Yeah, I think they are right. I mean, this is a situation that's now developing to where law enforcement agencies don't even have access to license records where you can see the visual representation of the person you're pulling over. So not only is there concern for the safety of the officer, but now we're beginning to see it's going to be more and more difficult to actually go after some of these crimes. License plate readers, for example, is another issue that's going to come up, and it's going to make it much easier for the criminal in New York State.
Michael, one of the saddest things we report on in the news here is the alarming suicide rate in Pennsylvania. It's gone up 34% in just 20 years. Every 40 seconds, somebody on this planet takes their own life. I can't imagine the hopelessness that you get to that seems like your only option. There was a big press conference this week in Harrisburg on this. What do you think it will take to reverse the trend?
It is an alarming trend, very sad and tragic, and especially when you see that it's hitting younger and younger ages as well, and it seems to be an intractable problem. When you think about that 34% increase in 20 years since 1999, you think, what is going on in our society that can be causing that? Now, the task force that is charged with looking at it has come up with a number of ideas of dealing with mental health issues and providing more resources there. Some are calling for what they call red flag laws to take guns out of the hands of people who might be flagged as being at risk in that regard. But there's so many other things. Some are suggesting social media and screen time and hopelessness and decreased church attendance. So many factors that all come into play. The biggest thing, I think, is that people need to be in relationship with others around them and be watching for signals and seek to get help. It's got to be sort of a one-on-one kind of thing where people are looking to help their fellow man.
Yeah, so many kids especially falling through the cracks. We've got to be mindful and be that good Samaritan, don't we? Jason, New Jersey this week hit the brakes on expanding child vaccine laws. They wanted to do as New York did and eliminate the religious exemption. They didn't have the votes. Will this cool New York's jets, so to speak, when it comes to pushing this HPV vaccine?
No, I don't think that what happened in Jersey is going to have a great impact on New York. Those pushing hard for the HPV vaccine mandate in New York come from really Manhattan, where they are insulated from the blowback that is happening across much of the state. Mm-hmm. So there is some reason there why people need to stay engaged on this issue. I am cautiously optimistic, though, that if we keep up the pressure on contacting legislators and calmly describing to them that this is a clear parental rights violation, that we can be successful on this front.
Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is coming up, Michael, this Sunday. It kicks off a series of events that champion the unborn. I wanted to ask you, do you think churches are feeling pressure not to engage in this debate? I remember when all the churches, it seemed, took part in this. Seems like not as many, maybe I'm wrong, are taking part in Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. If you would answer that, and then also explain why the church is so important to promoting a culture of life.
Well, we're always happy to see churches get involved in Sanctity of Human Life Sunday and to be talking about the issue of abortion, since it is the leading killer in our Commonwealth and in the country in terms of the numbers of deaths that happen every year through abortion. Many churches don't get involved, and I think that pressure is on them because it's viewed as a quote-unquote political issue. My good friend and Jason's good friend, Joseph Backholm, who works for the Colson Center, has done a great video on the thing, is there is no such thing as a political issue. It are issues that get decided in many cases in the political realm, like abortion, because the courts got involved in that. But churches are afraid of politics. They have been forced into that corner. We think that there are better solutions for churches to look at the Bible and not to be pressured by society in that direction, but to say, what does the Bible say about human life, and then to talk about that.
And then finally, Jason, there is a way forward in Albany. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but you're going to be talking about this on March 7th. Tuesday, March 17th, the annual Legislative Day event, which you put on, the theme Ever Upward this year. So what do you say to those who feel, and there's a lot of folks who feel this way, that their voice doesn't matter anymore in New York?
Well, we want to encourage them. You know, Michael has referenced a few times hope in his comments today, and I echo those sentiments. You know, we have a mutual colleague, Michael and I, in Iowa, who's always encouraging us to think higher. And, you know, as Christians, that's so important that we do that. We're not limited by the politics of this day. But we can make a difference. However, it's going to look at a cultural shift. And so what can we as Christians do to make a difference in the culture around us and ultimately impact what happens in Albany, New York, and Washington, D.C.?
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week. But if you have questions about the great work going on at the Pennsylvania Family Institute, you can reach them at, Michael?
PAFamily.org.
And New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms does such great work fighting for you in Albany. Your website, Jason?
AlbanyUpdate.com.